Our reading this morning is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if you're following it, it's in the New Testament of the Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to pray for Paul. He's allowed to come near me. It's okay. Father, we do thank you that Paul has done this preparation on this passage this morning as we begin to think about worship. Just bless him now, Lord. Remind him of what he's going to say and help him to be able to say it well. And may these words be from you, Father. May they touch our hearts. Please bless him as he speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. So we've got our new sermon series, A Whole Life Worship. It's based on material from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, which we've used before. There is small group material, which our group has already used and found it very good. And there's a book by Sam and Sarah Hargreaves. Incidentally, if anybody's got my copy, could I have it back sometime, please? That would be rather nice. The material is really excellent material. It is quite thought-provoking as well. Today's session is Engaging Our Whole Lives. I thought it'd be interesting to start with a question. What is worship? Now, unfortunately, you can't feed back to me. I wouldn't be able to hear you in any case. But where better to start than conforming to the pattern of this world, sorry, Lord, by looking on Google? So I looked on Google, and here are three of the definitions that I got from there. Firstly, worship is an act of religious devotion, usually directed towards a deity. Secondly, true worship is a valuing or a treasuring of God above all things. And thirdly, worship is anything you do that declares the worth of the Lord. Now, those were the first three I pulled off the internet. I think they got better as I moved from number one to number three. The first is more like a general dictionary definition, isn't it? Whereas the last, I think, is a declaration by a worshipping Christian. Particularly when you read the additions, the riders which are attached to it, it says, worship is anything you do that declares the worth of the Lord, which deepens your relationship with Jesus and urges others to follow him. That's good, isn't it? Incidentally, that's from faithgateway.com, if you want to look up at it. But the root of the English word worship is the same as the word worth. So we're obviously going along the right path when we talk about giving God his worth. It may also be worth posing the question at the beginning of our series, how do we worship? And I would say straight away at the beginning that worship goes further, but it does include, of course, the wonderful sung worship that we have, and we're longing to take our masks off and join in at the beginning of our service and the end of our service. And it goes even further than coming together for an hour on a Sunday morning to hear what God has to say to us and from each other. In fact, I think three words describe how we can worship God, and that is living with Jesus. So worship can be thought of as being equal to living with Jesus. So let's see what St. Paul has got to say about worship in this magnificent chapter 12 of his letter to the Romans. He's already laid the deep trenches of theology in chapters 1 and 3 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Do read them if you get the opportunity. He's now turning to the practicalities of putting it all into action. He begins the chapter with not just one, but three attention grabbers. Therefore, if you read through the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, you'll find that several chapters start like that. Therefore, he wants to catch their attention and draw it to what he's going to say next. And then the next bit is that he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters. That Greek word adelphoi is translated brothers and sisters in the newer translations of the New Testament. And then he says, in view of God's mercy. So, therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, hey people, I want you to listen to this and take it in. I urge you, he says, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Not like the dead animals, the cows and the sheep and the bulls and the cheese butties and all that sort of stuff that they bring to the temple, but actually bring your living self. God can do more with living people than he can with dead animals. In fact, this is living. This is holy living. And it is 100% pleasing to God, because it is your spiritual act of worship. Giving your whole self to God is what he desires most. He wants our bodies, he wants our minds, he wants our souls and our spirits, he wants all of us. Faults and blemishes, graces and talents, he wants the lot and he can cope with the lot. If you forget anything else, if you forget everything else, I say to you this morning, please remember this. Giving your whole self to God is what he wants. I'll tell you again. Giving your whole self to God is what he wants. If you've already done that, then hallelujah, keep doing it. But if you haven't, maybe this morning is the time. Offer yourself to God. All of you. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. I give my life to you. Please come into my life. Fill me with your presence. Forgive me and cleanse me and take me forward day by day with your love in my heart. And if you said that today meaningfully, please speak to one of the leaders here today. Returning to St. Paul, the rest of chapter 12 tells us what we're to do and spells out a little bit of how we can do it. And the clue is really two words near to the beginning of verse 5, where he says, in Christ. In Christ I can do this. I can be this. It's almost as if for us thickies, we need to insert that phrase in each verse or each group of verses. So, for example, verse 2, in Christ, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Oh, how difficult it is not to be pressurized by the world, by people and possessions, by behavior, by the media. They all seek to influence us, don't they? And probably not for the best, not for the way of the Lord. St. Paul encourages us in many of his letters, and he says, stand firm. And here he instructs us to use our mind, the willpower that God has provided within each one of us, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? Then, St. Paul says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Yes, if you retune your mind, then you will be in tune with God. And you will know his will, which is good. And of course it is pleasing to God. And it is perfect. It cannot be bettered. God's will is the best that we can ever have. And we're only up to verse 3. From verse 3 to verse 8, St. Paul says, get your attitudes right. Firstly, don't be big-headed, but also don't be negative and do yourself down. Because in Christ, through his Holy Spirit living within you, you are a member of the body of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty fantastic. You and I are members of the body of Christ. He has given to each one of us specific gifts, and he wants us to use our gifting in worshipping and serving him. In this little chunk, he reminds us of 7 spiritual gifts. Let's see if I can find them. Yes, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. The gift of prophesying, the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouraging, the gift of contributing to the needs of others, the gift of leadership, and the gift of showing mercy. Each one of us has been given different gifts. I don't know if you remember last year, we had sermons and we had small group material exploring these and other gifts which God has showered upon us. He wants us to use them with the authority, remember the last few sermons? The authority which Jesus has given to us. The power that the Holy Spirit living in us has given to us. to the glory of the Father. So let each one of us use these gifts that God has given us to worship the Holy Trinity. I think Paul must have been remembering his letters to the Corinthian church when he came to the writing Romans 12, because he talks about spiritual gifts and then in the body of Christ. And then in the next bit, he goes on to talk about love, just as he did in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13. So verse 9, in Christ, remember, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. In fact, it's only through Christ living within us that a person can be sincere and can do the other things. Be devoted to brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality in Christ. And then in verse 14 to the end of the chapter, it's almost as if St. Paul has got a copy of Matthew's Gospel beside him and he's reading Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be so conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. He even used a chunk from the Old Testament to lend weight to what he is writing. And it, of course, it is implicit that we can only do this with Christ. We can only do these things with Christ living within us and empowering us. And if we do this lot, we are responding to Jesus' love. And we are living with him day by day. We are worshipping in every aspect of our life. Note, for a Christian, there is no religious, secular divide. Christ is with us in church, in our small groups, in our singing, in our listening, in our families, in our workplace, at school, in the supermarket, on the high street, in prison, in hospital, at the football match, up on the hills, at the seaside, everywhere and in everything. Jesus is Lord. We will allow him. Hudson Taylor, missionary to the Chinese people in the 1800s, said this. He said, Jesus is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. What a challenge that is, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. May that be the prayer of you and of me. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want to be Lord of every aspect of our life. Thank you for the privilege that we have of belonging to you, of being your sons and your daughters. Please will you come now and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.